Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. September 14th on the Christian calendar is the festival of the Holy Cross, going back to the year 335, and you can read more about the history of that in the worship insights in the green, no, it's not green this week, it's yellow, what's happening sheet. And since September 14th falls on a Sunday, we get to focus on the cross today, which really is the symbol at the heart of Christianity, the cross. But because we see it so often everywhere as jewelry, as decoration, we forget that the historical use of crosses was just plain violent and cruel. It was the instrument of capital punishment in Jesus' day. Like for us, in the history of this country, a hanging rope, or an electric chair, or chemical death. I mean, can you imagine? We could be wearing little hanging ropes in gold around our necks or on our ears, or we could have little hangman's ropes in the place of every cross here, including here. I mean, and I don't say that to be a sick joke, really, but to point out how shocking the cross is, because we so easily lose that. The source of life, God, identified by an instrument of violent death. Many thoughtful Christians struggle with the violence of the cross. I can't tell you how many times I've been asked, you know, if God is so loving and caring, why would he send his own son to be murdered? And then the questions flow from there. Can't God forgive us without punishment? And the meaning of the cross can be interpreted and has been since day one in a number of different ways. And that's only one minor way of the meaning of the cross and a way to talk about Jesus' passion. But when we think about it only in that way, we're forgetting who Jesus is. I mean, Jesus is of God. There aren't three gods, one who sent another one and then sat back in heaven crossing his feet on a footstool of clouds, and then another God cheering from the sidelines trying to get Jesus into the spirit. The one who died on the cross was God himself. God didn't send another one to do his dirty work. Sometimes we forget that when we talk about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is a human-made construct that attempts to speak about the mystery of life's source. God is beyond our language, beyond our labels and theories, beyond our understanding, but humans have to come up with words to speak of the initial word, God's self, who became flesh in the homeless newborn, Jesus. I think that one of the basic human lifelong questions is whether the source of life is for us or against us, if God is gracious or wrathful towards all humans and also towards me. Basic human question. And we look for this in nature and the beauty of creation, and also in other humans and the good that they can do. But what with natural disasters and the awful things that we humans do too, we can't find a trustworthy answer in either place. The place where Christians are finally assured that God is indeed gracious is, you got it, the cross. God, willing to enter into human suffering with us in order to prove that our Creator is trustworthy, entering into suffering with us in order to prove to us that he's trustworthy. John, the author of the Gospel according to John, uses a literary or poetic ploy in order to surprise us. He writes, "The one who came down from heaven must be lifted up so that all can see him." See, one is lost in the masses of humanity. He must be lifted up so that all can see who he is. And how does this one, the Creator, get lifted up? On a royal litter in a throne and a crown on his head? Nope. Does he get lifted up on his friend's shoulders, for he's a jolly good fellow? Nope. In any way that would reveal to the world that this man, Jesus, is wise, is connected with the Creator of life, that we should pay attention to him? Nope. God doesn't choose to get lifted up in any victorious way. He gets lifted up in our world on the instrument of death, the cross. And the idea that the Creator of the galaxies, the Creator of all that is, that gives us life every second, would be lifted up for all to see on an instrument of death, well, this is the opposite of what humans expect of a God. A God is supposed to come in triumph and glory, in justice and in might and victory, which is why the idea of a defeated God, a crucified God, was a stumbling block to the Jewish people at first, because most Jews expected the Messiah in the form of a powerfully just king who would overthrow the Roman oppressor and restore the land of Israel. A cross? Executed? Capital punishment? God? And likewise, it was foolishness to the philosophical Gentiles. Suffering God? Foolish. Doesn't make logical sense. But this God on a cross is the very heart and very wisdom of our God. That we struggle with it shows how different our perspective is from God's. The cross proclaims that the deepest meaning in life is giving out of the self for others, not grasping in for the self. The cross proclaims that life is found not in winning, but in losing. Strength is found not in might and victory, but in vulnerability and weakness. The cross proclaims that power isn't the answer. Love is. This is the wisdom and the power of the cross. And the cross isn't our way. The cross is God's way. It's where God meets us in our losses and in our vulnerability, and even in our ways of self-centeredness and one-upmanship. The cross means that we don't have to prove anything in life to God or to anybody else. We don't have to make a name or create a place for ourselves in this world. It's already been done. Just as the little cross will be placed on Logan's forehead shortly, that cross was placed on your forehead in baptism. Your name is Beloved, Beloved Child of God, for God so loved the world. And our place in this world is the cross, where we find life in the last place that we look. And most importantly, where life and the source of life finds us over and over again. Amen.